Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. And welcome back to Brian Mullally, our guest for today. Brian, we just heard you talk about all the short stories that you've entered in contests. What do you like about the short story form?
A short story is like a love affair. It may only last for a few days, but it can haunt you for years. A novel is like a marriage, a commitment to see the story through from beginning to end. Sometimes I get an idea for a short story and write down the first draft in a few days. Other times I come up with a beginning but have no ending. I have many beginnings stored in my computer.
Yes, I think we all do. But you did recently have a collection of short stories, and it was called A Patch of Blue, published by Blue Denim Press. Tell us about that experience.
I gave the publisher 40 of my short stories to read and let them choose 20 to publish. It was interesting to see which ones they picked. They included several that had won awards, but I was disappointed that some of my favorites didn't get picked. Obviously, choices had to be made, but these are my babies, and I wanted to include them all.
So what are your writing plans for the future, Brian? Are you going to be writing more short stories or something different?
I'm currently writing two novels. One is an adventure story about gold smuggling by air stewards. The other story is a crime story in which an elderly couple tried to solve the 20-year mystery of who murdered a beautiful young Somali girl. However, I'm constantly interrupted by an idea for another short story.
Well, two novels on the go at once seems like a lot of work to me. Do you write every day?
Yes, as much as I can. But life interferes sometimes, so you just can't.
Brian, do you think you could read us something from your book, A Patch of Blue?
Okay, I'll read an excerpt from my story entitled Watch Out for the Bumps. The story begins when Maggie receives a phone call from a previous lover while she's having a shower, prior to sharing a picnic lunch with an old flame. Maggie's naked body is still dripping water on the bath mat when the telephone rings. She swaddles herself in a towel and picks up the receiver on the third ring. Hello? Is that you, Maggie? It's a familiar voice, but not the one she's expecting. Walter. Good morning, Maggie. She swallows her irritation. Good morning, Walter. I have to see you, Maggie. Not today. Call me on the weekend. I need to see you right away. Hold on. She puts down the phone, tucks the towel into her cleavage, and picks up the receiver again. Sorry, Walter. It's out of the question today. It's too late. I'm halfway there. I'll be at your house in 45 minutes. Maggie has visions of fending off Walter's amorous embraces just as Charlie arrives at her door. Not the house, darling. It's not convenient today. His suspicion crackles over the airwaves. Why? Who have you got there? No one. Don't be silly. I'll explain when I meet you. Where? The new public parking lot. Okay, honey, he says, and the line goes dead. Maggie finishes drying herself, then picks up the phone again. Hello. Charlie's voice sounds fluid. Were you asleep, honey? No, I'm cleaning my teeth. Something has come up. You'd better wait for me at my office. Can I help? No, it's a business thing. How long will you be? Not more than a couple of hours. Do you want to cancel our picnic lunch? No way. I've got it all prepared. Okay, I'll take some coffee in for the girls. Maggie slips into the floral peasant skirt and white silk blouse. She dials her office, and the secretary answers the phone. Good morning, Urban Real Estate. Good morning, Brenda. Good morning, boss. Anything urgent? There's a sign back on the Drexel property, that's all. Oh, that'll keep for a while. Listen, Brenda, I'm going to be late coming in, so Charlie Hackett may arrive before me. Ah, the mystery man. I saw you dining with him the other night at the Oasis Cafe. I shall bombard him with questions. Don't you dare. Well, you might as well come clean, boss. The whole office is buzzing with speculation. He's a friend of my ex-husband's. We ran into each other a couple of weeks ago. He has interesting looks. He's an airline pilot. Hey, some of those guys make good money. Goodbye, Brenda. Water is nowhere in sight when Maggie pulls into the public parking lot. She plugs her hairdryer into the cigarette lighter and thinks about water as she dries her hair. Water had been a bit weepy the last time they met. Apparently his wife's condition is deteriorating rapidly. Maggie met Water some 10 years after she was divorced, and they've been enjoying a romantic interlude together ever since. Juno Lodge is their favourite rendezvous, conveniently located halfway between Toronto and Maggie's home. Walter's wife, Ethel, doesn't miss him. She doesn't even know he's gone. The nurse takes care of Ethel whenever Walter wants to snatch a little time for himself. Maggie loves dressing up for their secret dates, and the tingle of anticipation stays with her right through lunch. Walter usually arrives ahead of time and waits in the parking lot. They hold hands as they enter the dining room. Water carries the burden of his years lightly, and he looks quite handsome in his sports jacket and silver cravat. They like to spend a few hours in the motel room, lying side by side in bed. Water says he likes to watch Maggie undress. Sometimes they cuddle. Some afternoons they make love. Maggie tries to turn off her worries and close her eyes while Walter labours away mightily. It's their special day, the recharging of their batteries. Their last meeting had been a little less than perfect. The air conditioner was out of control, and the room felt like a refrigerator. Maggie remembered shivering as she crept between the sheets in her slip. They clung together for a while without speaking. Walter had been too distracted to make love, so they held hands and watch the afternoon rays of the sun slowly creep across the ceiling like bars of gold as Walter unburdened himself. Alzheimer's disease delivers such a knockout blow to your senses, Maggie, he said. Maggie squeezed his hand. If you've always been there for a Walter, what more can you do? Walter buried his face in Maggie's neck. The doctor says she doesn't have much longer. That was 2 months ago. And they haven't seen each other since. And now that Charlie has come back in her life, Maggie feels she should end it, but not today. She wants to do it as gently as possible. He's such a loyal person, and she owes Walter that much for all the good times they shared. Maggie will begin to see Walter in a totally different light after this meeting, as the story develops with more twists and turns.
Well, thank you, Brian. And where can people buy your books?
Well, it's available in Kobo at the Avid Reader, and it's on Amazon or Kindle, or my website, which is brian.mullally.net.
Can you spell that for us? Because I think Mullally is an unusual spelling.
Okay. Mullally is spelled Mullally.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us today, Brian, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in again to Word on the Hills. If you would like to be interviewed because you are a writer or you know somebody who is a writer and think they would make a good interviewee, please let us know by writing to wordonthehills@gmail.com. You can also leave comments and suggestions there, and we'll be happy to read them. And if you're interested in finding out more about Spirit of the Hills Arts Group in Northumberland, visit that website too at spiritofthehills.org. Thanks once again, and I hope you'll join us next week on Word of the Hills on Northumberland Radio 89.7.